So, Father, we pray that the words that are spoken and the words that are heard will bring glory to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I think I've probably told you this before, but actually we all like a good laugh. And there's a joke in our family that we're still living with, though probably not laughing at. I said, when I retire, I'll have plenty of time. Sheila's still laughing. But everyone else thinks that I have. Churches, Industrial Christian Fellowship, Faith in Business, Theology Colleagues, Baptist Association, children and grandchildren. And I'm 78. How old is old? Life expectancy is 81 for women and 77 for men, so I'm already in extra time. We use different terminology these days. 60 is the new 50. 65 is no longer old. 65 to 74 is spoken about as the third age. 75 to 84 is active retired. That's most of us, apparently. We've pushed the perception of old age into the late 80s. As we get old, of course, we've got an opportunity to discover who we are, to enjoy the present moment, to be able to live with contradictions or differing views. We are more able to speak our mind. Not always a good thing. Being less concerned to impress other people. There's a freedom here, a freedom to be honest with ourselves and honest with others. We're able to see ourselves as whole persons with all of our life history. As Christians, we begin to learn more about God as we reflect on our lives and where our faith has been. We understand ourselves, our whole life and relationships, and even begin to accept the end of our life. We're able to face death. This is not decline, but growth, as Paul says. He puts this for Christians. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. One of the problems, of course, of older age is the way other people see it. Well, poor thing, needs a bit of help. Needs some protection from ourselves and from the world around us. I was asked to write a paper on retirement for the Baptist Union of Great Britain 10 years ago, and I identified questions which I think that perhaps we as a church all need to hear and to ask. What is the value of older people? What would a job description for retirement look like? Is there wisdom in old age? And if so, can it become a resource for the church and wider society? Are older people an invaluable but little recognized resource for local mission? And if so, how can their contribution be enabled? Is a church that comprises 90% retired people, that's a bit like where we are, a church full of potential for mission, or one full of burdens for the minister? How can we develop a pastoral and missionary strategy for our situation here? The Old Testament suggests that advancing years are a gift from God, but they're quite realistic. They also recognize that we might become a bit short-sighted and a bit deaf. What are our views of the pros and cons of aging? What are the views of other older people that we know? Well, today, as we look at the presentation of Jesus in the temple, we look at two older people who had long awaited the coming of the Messiah. An angel has appeared to Mary and Joseph, and like Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph are obedient to the angel. And 6 weeks after the birth of Jesus, they bring him to the temple to be circumcised. He is named and presented to God. His name is Jesus, which means God saves. Waiting in the temple are two older people devoted to the law of God. Simeon, looking for the consolation of Israel, and Anna, looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Here are two people who know their Bibles and are living in faith and trust in God. Simeon and Anna are able to look at the world, life, and the Bible with open eyes and an open heart that old age brings to them, but also with the hope that what God has promised, God will yet fulfill. Simeon is looking for the consolation of Israel, the sort of words that we hear from Isaiah: the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And later, Isaiah says, "Comfort, comfort my people," says God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem." And now in the temple, the long-expected Jesus is presented, and Simeon holds the child in his arms and sings out his hymn of praise. But Simeon, as a prophet, is also aware of the risks involved in this comforting package and of the cost of not engaging with God's offer of salvation. Simeon is now ready for death. In seeing the Messiah, God has prepared him to die in peace. There is nothing left that he must live to see. Simeon can entrust himself to death, knowing that life and immortality have been brought to light through the gospel. Through all the anxiety and fear comes peace. Shalom. And Simeon sings out to God the words that we know as the Nunc Dimittis: "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." And we can be sure that Anna's thanksgiving at the sight of baby Jesus and what she said about him to her God-fearing friends would have been similar to the words of Simeon. This is a prophetic word about one who is both Saviour and Christ. I've seen it myself. Simeon might have echoed the words of the Apostle John in his first letter: "That which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." Simeon has held God's salvation in his own arms, seen and felt the reality of God's promised salvation. Well, of course, you can believe what the doctor says when he tells you, or in my case, my wife, that in 7 months' time, there'll be another member in our family. But it's not, of course, until the birth of your first child that the reality hits you. To hold that crying, tiny, delicate piece of humanity, born only seconds earlier, in your hands for the first time, is something never to be forgotten. For Simeon, the promise becomes real as he holds this baby in his arms. God dwells here amongst humankind. He has been prepared in our presence, says Simeon. He is there to witness this in person. This is down-to-earth religion. This is God in his arms. Forget about the tinsel-haloed, white-dressed blonde angels from the school or junior church nativity. This is real. This is a crying baby. This is God down to earth. These are events that Mary would never forget, yet would only understand some 33 years later. With old age comes wisdom. For Christians, it's a wisdom that reflects the growing knowledge and understanding of God. Being attuned to God's word and God's wisdom. Simeon's thanksgiving to God tells us that the salvation of the world is to be found in Jesus, and it's there for all people. It's a universal offer. Simeon, well, he might have been looking for something different, for a triumphant king like David, but with Jesus in his arms, he sees both a clearer and a darker picture. Rescue will be offered to everyone, but it will bring a personal challenge. Not everyone will be rescued. Some will want to go it alone. The Messiah will be at the center of a storm of controversy. He will reveal people's true nature by their response to him. People will even speak against this sign of love, a scandal achieved by the way of the cross. Simeon's warning to Mary tells us that the universal offer of salvation doesn't mean that it'll be received with joy by everyone. It is an offer to everyone, but it must be considered by each one of us. There is a personal challenge here. You can give up on the demands of the gospel, anything for a quiet life, or remain restless in our search until we find out our peace and our true worth in God. Both Simeon and Anna are old. Both are devoutly religious, living and waiting in faith. And we recognize that numerical age does not necessarily imply inability. Amongst the older members of the congregation that I pastored in Rushden in the 1980s, there were those who organized an annual two-week holiday abroad for over 65s, cooked and delivered meals on wheels, ran a lunch club for the elderly, acted as hospital drivers, wrote articles for the local paper for the blind, for the church newsletter, edited local publications, ran church organizations, oversaw the fabric and maintenance of the church, tended the church gardens, undertook decoration of the church property. The list is endless. But one story inspired me, that of Wynne and her husband Arthur, who were stalwarts at South Oxford Baptist Church when Sheila and I were living in Oxford. They were well into their 70s when we went to the church. They supported everything. They ran the women's meeting, organized numerous sales of work events, organized the church catering. Wynne played the piano at services, organized numerous sales of work, and organized the catering while Arthur oversaw the fabric and maintenance of the church. Arthur's mantra was that he would rather wear out than rust out. And up until his death, he was up and down ladders in the church. He was even down drains outside the church because we had a problem with flooding. Always attending to the fabric needs of the church. And when they were over 80 years of age and having celebrated their diamond wedding anniversary, Arthur died. Wynne eventually gave up the catering but continued to be an ever-present support at church events and services. They were forward-looking. They played a vital part in welcoming, caring and praying for the fellowship. And up until her death, Sheila and I continued to get notes of encouragement from Wynne, together with the assurance that she was praying for us in our roles, first in Oxford and then in South Wales. And praise God, I could tell the same stories here. They could be told about this congregation. Simeon and Anna were at peace, trusting that God can be with them and to the end of their life. Sovereign Lord, you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Or as Paul wrote to the church at Rome, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. But of course, we're all different. And our stories and our experiences will be different from everyone else's. But our ultimate value is to be found in God, to be loved, accepted, forgiven, and made new in Christ, drawn into an eternal relationship with God, which death cannot break. I've quoted this before, but the American novelist and sailor Herman Melville, author of Moby Dick, wrote this: life is a voyage that is homeward bound. That's what Simeon and Anna found in seeing Jesus. May we each know that life is a voyage that is homeward bound. Amen.